Pull up a cup of coffee and let's get this party started.
We're the Uplines you didn't know you needed, but now you have.
This is the podcast for women who are building a direct sales business but want to do it the right way.
Melanie has a decade of experience in direct sales. She's earned the top in industry 4 years in a row and has grown a multi-million dollar organization. She gives a no BS approach to leadership, recruitment, and organization.
And my bestie Katie has you covered with the rest. From the relationships, the do's and don'ts of branding, her content has been viewed by millions. She doesn't just talk the talk, but she teaches people how to create an intentional brand too.
All right, let's get this party started.
Well, hey, everybody. It is Melanie and Katie of the Direct Sales Done Right podcast, and we are super excited to have a very special guest on today. We've got Jillian Murphy, and she comes to us with over 25 years of experience working with different companies and brands to scale their sales.
Like
and
a ninja.
She's a
good ninja.
She is. She's a sales ninja. You are. Jillian, welcome to the show. We're happy to have you here.
Oh my gosh. One, thank you so much for having me. I'm such a fan of both of you, and I'm so excited to pour in to your audience today.
We are a fan of you too. And we've met through our mastermind that we're both in together and just fun. Really just connected with you and your personality. And I watch all of your social media content. I think you give great advice to anybody that is trying to increase their sales. And the one thing that I connect with you the most is just the personal attention that you really talk about, just closing in the DMs. And it's a very personal experience and it's relationship building. And I know how much our listeners in direct sales struggle with that. Mm-hmm. And I just am excited to pick your brain and share this great wisdom with everybody else today.
I love it. Yes.
Yeah. Let's rock and roll on it.
All right. Before we dive in, why don't you share a little bit about, because I know your journey is kind of like ours too. It kind of like developed as you were on the path, but tell us a little bit about how you became an entrepreneur, where you started, and tell us how you got into the sales part of what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have been in sales for 28 years. I actually went to college for law enforcement, which is like people like don't know this backstory about me. And I was actually in the academy and I lasted 18 days and it was awful. And I remember I called my parents and I was like, I have got to get out of here and I have to find something else. And my dad was the VP of sales at a very large organization. And he was like, why don't you come into our company and be like a summer intern? And I was like, okay. So I went into this company and I decided to be a summer intern there. And some things that people don't know about this is that I was actually the first female in the organization since 1963. And I walked into a very old school boy club. So when I walked in, even though my dad was the VP, I was the only female. And I walked into like this boardroom. Back then, people were like smoking in the boardroom. It was all these men. They were like in these suits. They were going to like the strip bar after work. And I was like, what did I like walk into? And I knew that I needed to prove myself in that position, not just being like Larry Brown's daughter, because he was like at the top of the company, but I needed to prove myself there. And within a very short amount of time, I was like, I'm obsessed with this. I love selling. I love what I can do. I love like changing the game of it. And there were so many hard roads though, because I was so different. I was so young. I had my own vibe. I had my own style. And I remember saying to myself, I am not just going to be Larry Brown's daughter. I am actually going to run this company at some point. And by the time I left 22 years later, I actually had 217 male sales reps working for me. I was still the only female sales rep in the organization. And then unfortunately, when you are in a top sales position and COVID happens, the pandemic happens, the company cuts from the top down. Yeah. And I lost a very phenomenal job that I never thought I would lose. I actually had no desire to be an entrepreneur. I was a ride or die corporate person. I would have like tattooed my company's name across my forehead. But I remember like I loved my corporate job, literally loved it. And I remember leaving my corporate job that day saying to myself, I don't really know what I can do, but I know I have a God-given talent for sales. And there are so many people out there, whether they are bartenders, social sellers, network marketers, realtors, whatever they are, that need help in selling. So I'm just going to start a Facebook group and I'm going to start doing these videos and helping people sell with these like really easy tips because everybody that I follow on social media is like cringy as shit and I'm going to help them. And I started a Facebook group and people started to reach out to me and they were like, hey, can you help us? Can you come speak to our network marketing team? How can I hire you? Can you come speak at our real estate office? And my business literally blew up overnight. And that's kind of how I got here.
So cool. It's so cool. And you are really talented at it too. So you're definitely good at it. I love that. So now here you are, you're teaching other entrepreneurs and social sellers and anybody that needs to perfect sales, correct? Do you have a specific target of client that you work with?
No, it's actually really interesting because I'm in the online space, people think that I really work with like online coaches or social sellers or network marketers, but a huge portion of my business and my portfolio is actually offline that people don't actually realize. So I work with hairstylists, functional medicine practices, chiropractors, construction companies, all different sorts of businesses. Any business that has some sort of product that is looking to generate more sales and increase their revenue is really where I can go into. I can really look at any sort of business and see where there is a gap in their sales process or training their sales team or going in and teaching. So I would say, yes, there are some businesses that I like more than others. And there's some that I enjoy more than others. But if you have a product or you have a service that you're selling, there's usually some sort of way that I can come in because the majority of people are not professionally trained in sales. So it's very easy to come in and be like, this is a very simple switch. Let's train you and make you better in sales.
Yeah. And even Melanie and I, when we came into direct sales, neither one of us had any background in sales. So I was an educator. Melanie had a background in psychology. And so we were the furthest thing from, what you wanted to look to as a model in sales. Like we just... Yeah. We did a lot of things wrong when we started. We sent out the really cringy messages that you're probably referring to. But if you had to take a guess, or if you even in your circumstances and your experience, what are the common mistakes that no matter what business model you are a part of that people make when it comes to sales?
Yeah. One is they think that they're really good in sales. They're like, oh, I'm really good in sales. Like, I can do this. And they actually very quickly realize that they're not.
Okay.
They realize that they're not. And they're actually being more of this like used cars salesman type of way. And once they realize that sales isn't that way, it's a very quick switch. That is one. And then the other one is actually not believing. So it's actually like this duality. And the other one is actually not having the belief that they're actually good at what it is. So it's like they're either think that they're really good at what they do and they're not, right? Like they think they're really good. So they're like going in and they're being this like aggressive salesperson and they're going at it, or they have no belief in themselves whatsoever. And they're hiding behind whether it's social media content or their products or their team or whatever it is. So those are like two of the biggest mistakes. And again, sales is actually very simple. It's just really rinse and repeatable that it takes time. So while it's not hard to learn, it is a craft that takes time to master.
Yeah. Okay. And I think back to my early days in direct sales, that was something that I remember screenshotting my conversation and sending it to my mentor. Okay, how do I respond to this? And then I would look at how she responded and then I would do my own response.
Yep.
And then over time, I trained myself to pay attention to when I got a yes, pay attention to when I handled an objection. And because I had so many conversations, I actually started to get this flow and this process, but it was really uncomfortable at the beginning. But yeah, there is a process to it. So I would love for you to break it down. Cause if you said one of the biggest things was like people just, they're not good at sales. So what is that process that people need to go through in order to strengthen their sales skills and actually close sales?
Yeah. I think the first one is like really having a self-belief in what it is that you're selling, right? Whether you're selling a water bottle, a baseball hat, furniture, meat, right? Whatever it is that you're selling, it's like, do you have a belief in what it is that you're selling? Are you bought in on it? So one of the things that I always talk about is like, you have to be your first sale. Right now I'm working with this construction company for an example. And the first question that I ask is like, would you guys buy these structures? Would you guys put them in your backyards? Would you guys invest $40,000 in them? And if you guys can't say yes, you guys need to do some inner work of like, why wouldn't you? Figure out which one is your favorite. figure out which structure you like and talk about that one first. Because if you're getting on a phone call with somebody and you're trying to get somebody to invest in one of these structures or one of these pergolas or one of these things for their backyard, and you wouldn't even invest in it, there's an energy that people can feel, right? So it's like, figure out that thing first and foremost. Like, you have to be so excited about what it is that you sell. And I think going back to social selling and network marketing, just for the purpose of this podcast and who your audience is, I think that so often there's so many different products that people can sell, right? Everything from lipstick to shakes to, yeah, you know, face masks to whatever. And it's like, they're trying to sell all of them. Yeah. But what's the one that you're really excited about? What's the one that's made a difference in your life? What's the one that's made a transformation in your life? And like, get excited about that, right? If you don't love protein shakes, don't talk about protein shakes. Mm-hmm. If you've never had a gut transformation, don't talk about a gut transformation product. It's like, find the one that you're like, this is a game changer in my life, because people are going to automatically feel that. You know, I'm in network marketing myself and we have an array of products. I don't love kombucha. So I would never get on my stories and be like, this is the best kombucha ever, because I'm not bought in to kombucha. I'm like, kombucha's gross. Like, don't buy it. It's disgusting.
Try to tell me one time, but that's
like, I'm going to be like, this is disgusting. People are going to feel my energy. But what I will say is like, hey, the protein is incredible. I can't live without it. If you guys are dying to get your protein in, try this.
Yeah.
Like, be excited about what it is that you're selling. I think that's a game changer right there, is like, what are you excited about? And talk about it.
Yeah. So think of your product catalog, right? So right now, if you are in a direct sales company where you have a large product catalog, you don't need to sell all of the things. No. And let me give you an example. When Melanie and I were in direct sales, there was a product that came out with our company. It was a workout. And it was a workout, you know what I'm going to say too. It was a workout that neither one of us had any business doing. It involved dancing. It involved country. Oh. It involved line dancing.
I need to see this.
I should pull out some of the footage because it really was great. And like, it was terrible. And both of us were like, I believe that somebody can be successful with this program, but it isn't going to be me. I'm not going to be the one. And when we would try to sell it, it felt like it was just like, this is not working, because your energy does really speak. And it isn't just belief in the product. It is belief in yourself, because when you believe in yourself, there's this energy that you exude through your conversations and through just how you're speaking about it that comes out, which brings me to the next question that I have for you, Jillian. One of the things that you talk about is the sales process through DMs. So I would love for you to like actually talk through this and give us like your aha, your secret, your magic when it comes through DMs, because most people, they stink at it.
Yeah.
They just,
And they're super passionate about their products. They have the belief, but they kind of freeze when it comes to inviting or giving information, or they word vomit and give too much. So, some best.
Yeah. All of those things, all A, B, C, D, all of those things. So number one, I think that people rush it way too quickly, right? It's like, hey, how do you sell in the DMs, Jill? Like, how do you close so much in the DMs? Well, the number one thing how I sell so quickly in the DMs is I'm not trying to sell right away in the DMs. I'm not jumping into Melanie's DMs and being like, hey, girl, hey, did you know I have a masterclass coming up on how to sell in the DMs? I'd love to invite you. I don't even know what her business is. I don't know if she sells in the DMs. I don't know if she's a coach. Like, I don't know anything about her. So number one, like I always say, like, slow your roll to enroll, like calm down. Like, you need to get to know people. Like, what is their pain point? What is their struggle? Do they need your kombucha? Do they need your country line dancing workout? Like, no one needs that.
No.
Or do they actually need these things before you actually invite them? So one, I always say, like, do some recon on people, like, get to know them, look at their social media, follow them, start to ask some probing questions, but you have to ask them in the right order. Like, you can't just slide into someone's DMs and start asking them things. It's like, you have to start slow. So I always say, it's like, what are five or six things, or let's just start slow, two or three things that you could talk to anybody about for hours, right? So for me, I could talk to anybody about fitness. I could talk to anybody about like sports, and I could talk to anybody about Taylor Swift. Like, those are like three things I could talk about forever. So I'm going to find people in my network, and as they post things, I'm going to talk about that. So let's say you post something on sports. I'm going to have a conversation with you about sports. Yeah. Let's say Katie posts something about, you know, Taylor Swift. I'm going to say something. And what's going to happen is we are going to naturally, organically just build a relationship around things that are very easy to talk about. And then what's going to happen is you're going to just start to consume my content. This is where people get it wrong. You're going to just start to see my content. And because you like me and we're having a normal friendship conversation, you're going to be like, oh, she also talks about kombucha, which I'm not. She's also talking about selling in the DMs. She's also talking about her protein. She's also talking about this. And because a like, know, and trust is starting to be built, I will just naturally become the only and obvious choice when you want to join a workout, sell in the DMs, lose the baby fat, fix your mindset, whatever, because you and I are building an actual relationship. Where this goes wrong is for a lot of people, their content sucks. Mm-hmm. So you're having these conversations with people in the DMs and your content is not nurturing them. So let's just take me for an example. Melanie and I start to build a friendship in the DMs. We're talking about sports. We're talking about dry shampoo. We're talking about how glam she is. We're talking about all the things. And in the meantime, my content is nurturing her. She's like, wow, she hosts retreats. She sells in the DMs. Her clients are having wins. So I don't need to be selling her on all of my stuff. My content on the back end is doing it. And I'm just nurturing her on a friendship level here. So the first thing to ask yourself is like, would people know what it is that you're selling through your social media stories first? And can you nurture them on the backside? So did that answer it? And like, obviously any further questions?
One thing that I want to point out, so I'm going to actually pause our listeners and I'm going to say, okay, the most important thing to take away from that is your content is always selling for you. Yeah. So your content is doing a lot of the gritty work.
Heavy lifting.
That you don't have to worry about. So when you're creating content that has a purpose, that serves people well, that showcases who you are, it's kind of like that BES strategy, brand awareness, engagement, sales, like that. When you start to understand that and take yourself out of it, it's not about me. It's not about my content. It's about how my content reveals what I can do for somebody else.
Yeah.
So your content is always working for you while you're building and nurturing relationships. Yeah. So this goes back to what we've had so many conversations between Lauren Hale, Christina Bartold. We've got Jillian here. Like we are all saying, I hope that you listen to every single one of these podcasts because the same idea is being enforced. Yeah. It is, you have to nurture relationships with people. You can't just expect a sale by going, hey girl, hey, I've got this great country workout for you. You're going to love it. And you hate it. Right. Yeah. So good. So good.
I love it. The other thing I want to say too is like boring is where it's at. Okay. Yeah. Like I talk about this all the time. Like you need to build a boring business and you also need to build boring content. Not that your content needs to be boring, but it needs to be the same thing over and over. You guys, I have been on social media for 3.5 years. Okay. If you go look at any of my content, I am talking about the same thing for 3.5 years. Do you think it gets boring? Of course it does. But my audience knows a couple things. She's going to consistently talk about sales. She's going to continuously nurture us about sales. She's going to continuously teach us about sales. Do I want to talk about my relationships and my daughter and my health and moving to Arizona and all these things? Of course. But that's not what my audience is actually here for. My audience needs to see me as the expert. My audience needs to see me as the go-to person. My audience needs to see me as the authority. And this is where a lot of people get it wrong. They're like talking like about all the things. If I go to your Instagram page, it's a picture of your cat and a Bible verse and what you ate for lunch yesterday. I have no idea what the hell you do. But if I go to your page, let's use Christina Barthold for an example, a great friend of mine. I know that she's a community builder because every day she's talking about community. She's showing herself in community. She's showing up in community. So I'm like, hey, if I want to build community, Christina Barthold is my go-to person. So it's like, this is an invitation for you right now to go to your Instagram, pause this podcast, go to your Instagram, look at it and say to yourself in 2.5 seconds, do people know exactly what you do?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How they can buy from you and what you're the go-to person for. And if they can't, it's an invitation to just do a little bit more work.
Yeah. I love that. Tweak your messaging. It was so valuable. We preach this to the high heavens in our collective membership about, you know, if your Instagram or Facebook looks like a personal page, people aren't going to take you serious. They don't know that you have a
they don't see you as somebody who can help them solve a problem, and you're not going to be the person that's top of mind whenever they mm-hmm. think about your products. It just mm-hmm. isn't going right. to be that way. So I love that. I think it's so valuable. And just the relationship, this is another question I get all the time. Once I start following somebody and connecting with them and engaging with them, how many days should I wait before I send the invite? And to me, I always want to like do this because it's such a, I say it's a feeling. How would you answer that question?
Yeah, I would say it's a feeling. And also, like, how did you like to be sold to? Right. So this is what I tell people all the time. Everyone has a different selling style.
Yeah.
And everyone has a different way that they like to be sold to. So yeah. For an example, I am actually a dominant buyer and I love to be sold to. I love to be sold to. If you have a product and you are excited about it and you want to share it, like, I want you to sell it to me. And I am also somebody who loves to buy, right? So it's like, I don't like people who are like timid and meek. It's like, hey, I got this great program and I'm excited about it. And I thought about you today and I'd love to invite you. Amazing. Yeah. I love how excited you are about this product, right? So remembering, like, everyone's different. Yeah. And that's okay. But it's also a feeling. It's like, do you like that type of energy? Yeah. How do you feel? Do you like when people slide in to your DMs, right? So like for me, I don't like when people send me cold pitches. I don't like when people are like, hey girl, hey, I really enjoy your content. Are you looking for a business coach? Mm-hmm. So I would never send a message like that. But yep. What I do like is like, hey, Jillian, I have been following your content. I love what you're putting out. I see that you're a sales coach. I'm creating a community of other high-level entrepreneurs. If you're open to an invite, I'd love to invite you.
Yeah.
Cool. Like, yeah. Send me the info. Right. So again, it's like, how do you like to be sold and then actually do it? I have a whole podcast episode on this. I'll tell you guys a quick story.
And okay.
I have a whole podcast episode on this. I went to the farmer's market recently and there was a guy who was selling carrot cake. Okay. And his carrot cake, he was like, there was all of these booths and everybody was just kind of like standing behind their booths. Like, hey, do you want a sample? Or some people would walk by and like not say anything. Okay. And this guy was standing in front of his booth. And I walked by and he was like, hey, good morning. And he had like such good energy. And I was like, hey, good morning. And he was like, come over, try. It was actually cheesecake.
Okay.
I love carrot cake. And he was like, hey, come over and try my cheesecake. And I was like, I don't really love cheesecake. And he was like, come over. It's like literally the best cheesecake you will ever try in your life. He's like, it's made in my mother's basement. And I was like, so drawn in to this guy's energy. Okay.
Yeah.
He pulled me over and he was so excited about his cheesecake. He was telling me about it, where it was at. I walked away with an $18 piece of cheesecake. You guys, I don't love cheesecake. And I was like, how did this guy sell me an $18 piece of cheesecake? You know how he did it? Because he sold to me exactly how I love to buy.
Yeah.
High energy, high vibe, all the things. So it's like, remember, people love to buy.
Yeah. And it's okay if you're not a high vibe person too. Like you actually said that at the beginning, you're like, ask yourself the way, how do you like to be sold to? So you don't have to morph yourself into Jillian.
No.
But you do have to ask yourself the question, are you the kind of person that likes somebody just to put up a link? Are you the kind of person that wants to, you don't want to be, you almost like, I'm the kind of person that doesn't like to be sold to directly. I like it to be like a secret sell. Like I build the relationship and then you just naturally are like, so tell me about your product, right? So we all have a style and those are actually the people that are going to be the best suited for us anyways.
Yeah.
So it's not, don't fall into like a comparison game.
So your high energy, your secret sale. Yeah. And I'm like, shoot me straight. I am like, get to your point and fast. So a lot of times for me, if someone's doing a really good job of sharing like how their product works and what they love about it, I am in their inbox and I am just like, all right, this is what I need. And I hate when people like play the like, let me ask you 300 questions. No. Get to the point.
Just give me the price.
Bottom line. What do I actually need here? Like I am shoot me straight.
I'm the same
I don't
way.
Have time for BS. Like, get to the point and fast.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm like high energy, secret sale. And I'm like, shoot me straight. So I love that we talked about what's your vibe. Like how you buy is probably an indicator of how you should be selling. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yeah. And it's also who you'll attract. I attract very like high vibe people. I attract people who have a very high energy. I attract people who are like no bullshit, right? Because also, if you're trying to morph into something else, you'll attract clients that are very much unaligned to you.
Yeah.
I don't attract a lot of introverts. Yeah. I don't attract a lot of shy people. I don't attract a lot of people who like aren't okay with me like swearing on sales calls, right? Like I attract a lot of what I put out because I show up authentically who I am every single day on social. And I think this is important for all of you guys to remember. Who you want to attract is who you should absolutely be on social, because you want to attract in your people, your vibe. And this goes back to social selling and social networking. You know, if you're trying to build a team, you want to show up to be who you are because you want to bring people onto your team who are like you. These are your people. This is your community. All of those types of things. You know, I have a very small team in network marketing. It's not a focus in my business at all, but I will tell you, people that are on my team are just like me. 100% just like me, because they're drawn to my energy. It's not about the products. It's like, I want to run with her. I like her vibe. I like her style. And I have my younger sister is also on my team, and her team is just like her. A bunch of new moms. They're introverts, kind of like bookworms, right? Mm-hmm. They're 100% her, and they're not attracted to me at all. Even though they all know me, they're attracted to my younger sister because that's the vibe of her team.
Yeah. Okay, so I think the million-dollar question that people have is, okay, Jillian, like you're confident, maybe that's like not natural for me. Or like, hey, Melanie, you have 12 years of experience. Like you just don't know what I'm struggling with. So we find this like is the argument people have with us often. So what do you say about handling objections? Like what is your go-to advice when people are getting objections? And if you could like give us advice that isn't like a standard, like objections are normal. Like we all hear that, but like, how do we really handle them?
Yeah. So one is you're going to get objections. I mean, everyone's going to get them. So one, it's like, you just have to be detached from that. And I think the number one thing is to remember is regardless of how good you are in sales, how confident you are, how long you've been doing it, you're all going to get them. And I think one thing that is super important, and maybe you've talked about this on the podcast before, you've heard this before, is it actually isn't about you. Mm-hmm. And I know that's easier said than done, but like you can't make it about you. And for every time you get a no, you actually are going to get a yes. Yeah. So I think for a lot of people, when you're not confident in sales, you do take it personal. Like, oh, they don't like my products. Yeah. They don't want to be on my team. Mm-hmm. It's too expensive, all of those things. And you really can't take it about you. And the other thing I think that a lot of people make themselves like, oh, when they get a sale, they're on this like high. And then when they don't get a sale, they're on the slow. And if you stay in this like neutral energy, that'll be a game changer for you at all times, right? Mm-hmm. But this is the thing when it comes to objections, I don't really believe in objections. I believe that we just have not done a good enough job in getting past them, right? So when people tell me like, oh, I don't have the money, I'm like, they do have the money. Mm-hmm. I have not done a good enough job of telling people why this has value. So if you're getting a lot of money objections, let's just say like on your protein powder or your shakes or your lip gloss or your makeup or whatever it is, I would encourage you guys all to ask yourselves, are you talking enough about the perception of value of the products? Mm-hmm. Because people are walking around all day long with bags they can't afford, cars they can't afford, mortgages that are stretching them, kids that are in sports that are stretching them, all of those things because they want it.
Yep.
So if people want something, they will spend the money or they will figure it out. Mm-hmm. And not that I'm trying to put your clients in debt, but we just probably haven't found a way to make it like this is an I need this type of thing, right? Mm-hmm. If you're getting objections like I have to check with my partner or I have to check with my spouse or I'm just not sure yet, that is usually a lack of trust. You have not done a good enough job yet of building a relationship. That might just mean you have to take more time.
Yeah.
Because for the majority of you women listening to this podcast, I'm sure it's women, you actually make the decisions in the household.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You control the finances. You control what the family does. So you're really just using that as an excuse. Mm-hmm. You know, if you guys want to go on the vacation, you want to buy the thing, you want to do the thing, you're usually making that decision. So you just have to build the trust longer. And sometimes that actually might just take some more time. So those are some of the biggest things that I see when it comes to objection handling. And then the third thing is getting in front of the objection.
Yeah.
So for a lot of you, you're waiting until the objection actually happens. So for me, I'm a high ticket sales coach, right? So I know that people are going to say like, ah, that's a lot of money, or I have to check with my partner, or do you have a payment plan? So I don't wait until people say these things. I talk about it on the podcast. Yep. I talk about it in my content. I talk about how I move through these, and I talk about how other clients once had this objection and where they're at now. So I'm always getting ahead of my objections in my content. I'm not waiting until my clients say these things first.
I love that. That is so, and actually we've done that for years. I actually, back in the day on Facebook, I made a post about, and I'm going to do it the disservice right now, but it was like a Louis Vuitton bag. And I actually talked about if you say you can afford this, you can afford that. And I actually talked about investing in your health and making it a priority. And so those were not so great ways that I did it in the past, but that's important, right? It's important to actually say it out loud and talk about it in your stories. And also, it's not about the features and benefits that your product has. It's really about you're selling the destination. And our friend Mike Lemieux talks about that a lot, right? Like, you're not selling the airplane ride. You're actually selling the destination of where you're going and what do people want.
The last thing I'll say in that too is the majority of you guys most likely sell to women, right? Yeah. If you say yes, if you're listening to this podcast, say yes, I sell to women. 97% of women buy based on emotion. There's a very, very small percentage of people that women that buy on logic. Okay. Look around your house right now. Look around your car right now. Look around where you're at. The majority of things that you've bought in around your house were bought based on emotion. Yep. So when you're selling your products, you have to speak to the emotion of why people need this, not on the logic. So if you're talking about the features and benefits or the logic on these things, you need to go deeper into the emotion of why people need these things.
Mm, I love that. When we were doing our mastermind a few weeks ago, you had said, you gave me two questions when we were doing our hot seat, and I wrote them down and I used them, and I want you to know they were successful, and I'm going to just share them with our listeners because you're brilliant. And so everybody should go follow Jillian. But the first question, when somebody gave an objection that you had said, was, what are the consequences if nothing changes? Mm-hmm. And so I asked somebody that, what are the consequences if nothing changes? And then the second question was, how long have you been struggling with this particular thing? And in this case, it was recruitment. Like, how long have you been struggling with building your team? And then I asked it actually in reverse. And then we chatted and I said, what are the consequences if nothing changes? And we had this back and forth. And I did at the end say, you have to face your fears, mm-hmm. and you have to, discomfort only lasts for a short period of time. But if you're willing to make a commitment, imagine where you can be a year from now. And that was it. She just turned around and boom, done. Mm-hmm. And so I think those are just great things for our listeners to ask themselves too. How long have you been struggling with that 10 pounds, or how long have you been struggling with not wasting money on skincare that's not actually helping you to improve your skin? And so it actually allows people to come to the realization that they actually do need this versus you kind of forcing it on them too, right? Yeah. It's that self-awareness.
And I love that you talked about that. And there's something else that goes deeper into sales. And this is where most people, they're not trained on sales. So they think it's even just asking questions, mm-hmm. but it's also the tonality in which you ask it, right? So I'm going to take for an example, the question that Melanie just said, how long have you been struggling with that? Mm-hmm. So let's say you listen to this podcast right now and you're voice memoing somebody in the DMs and you're like, how long have you been struggling with that? There's a way in which you ask that. But now if you ask it in a very concerned tone, what happens is you're actually lowering their nervous system and you're like, now, Melanie, let me ask you, how long have you been struggling with that? Mm-hmm. Do you see how the tone changes and everything's chill, and I'm actually relaxing their nervous system, right? So now in return, Melanie's like, I don't know, I've been struggling with recruitment for 5 years. I just can't seem to bring anybody on my team. And I can do one of two things. I can say, and are you okay with that? And you see how the energy goes up, and now I've put her into fight or flight again. Or I can say, and are you okay with that? And it again brings it down and it calms her down and it brings her nervous system down. And it actually creates this very concerned tone. And for a lot of people, when they're selling, you are putting your clients in fight or flight and you don't realize it. And you're putting them in resistance because the way that you're asking questions and the way that you're moving through and the way that you're fast pacing, but the way that you pace your questions and the way that you ask them, in the way that you slow it down, and all of these things, they're like, yeah, I'm actually not okay with that. Yeah. And then you're like, okay, so let's make a change together. I got you.
Yeah.
Yep. Did you see the difference?
Yeah.
And even when you're in the DMs, this doesn't have to be written. So that's one of the mistakes that people make is remember, we don't know tone whenever we're writing. We can assume tone. And a lot of times we get in trouble for assuming tone, but it is something different to experience a voiceover, a personal voiceover to people that let them feel the emotion that you're projecting onto them. So that is such a great point. I'm so glad you brought those questions up, and I'm so glad that you addressed tone. Well, you guys, we have covered so much today in today's podcast, and I guarantee this is going to be one of those episodes you listen to again, you maybe take some notes, but we would love, Jillian, for you to share, where can people connect with you, reach out to you, just to learn more about the sales process in general?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have a podcast called Scale Your Sales. We drop 3 episodes a week. Go over and check it out. They're short and sweet, like 20, 22 minutes. So go over and check out the Scale Your Sales podcast. Also come over and just follow me on Instagram at the Jillian Murphy. We drop a ton of value-based content. And then I have a free Facebook group where we drop all sorts of sales tips and nuggets over there. So I would love for you guys to come over and hold on over there.
I love it. Super helpful. Well, thank you so much for being on today's episode of the Direct Sales Done Right podcast. Guys, go follow Jillian. Check out what she has to offer. You have to check out her podcast as well. And we will see you guys next time on the Direct Sales Done Right podcast. Thanks, Jillian.
All right. So if you loved today's episode, make sure you head over to wherever you listen to the episode today and leave us a rating and review. And also take a little screenshot and tag us on Chic Influencer. We'll feature you in our stories. Plus, we'd love to get your feedback and hear from our listeners. Yep. Until next week, let's make chic happen.